headed to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Remember, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. Before we dive into quarter number four and a list that Bob Flounders has put together, we are happy to announce that Josh from State College was the winner of the best question this week from Ask Ross in the previous segment, and he will receive a tailgate box courtesy of 409tailgateclub.com. So quarter number four, for a few more weeks, we're going to talk about Bob Flounders' 25 most important Penn State football players for 2020. We're going to do them in descending order. It's an early list. It is subjective based on what most important means. But as Ross said last week, he looked for holes to argue with him about and he couldn't really find them. We are going to start with number 21 this week, Bob.
But, and just a real quick rehash. We talked about four players last week, two linebackers, Jesse Luketa and Lance Dixon. We talked about a young corner who could start in Keaton Ellis. And we talked about a very talented potential pass rusher in Adisa Isaac. So we're going to start this week's installment with my 21st player. And it's a player that, going into the season, I don't think you can say he's a starter because of what's coming back, but I thought he made huge strides last offseason and even into the season. He played a lot as a Penn State's third tackle. It's Dez Holmes. And I just think, you know, new offensive line coach. I know Will Fries is back on the right side and they have Rasheed Walker back on the left. But I remember seeing Dez Holmes out there an awful lot. I thought he held his own. I think he's come a long way since he's got on campus. I admire a kid who, you know, in this day and age of take kind of the transfer portal is always a possibility. He got after it. He got bigger. He got stronger. And I just think that the way that he closed the season, I just don't is as set as Penn State might be at offensive tackle, barring injury. I could see the door opening for Dez Holmes. He could almost play like a starter and not start games. Or, you know, if Will Fries has a rough practice week, I don't think they would hesitate to put him in the game.
This is he's entering his fourth season. Developmentally, of the seven guys Penn State used up front on a consistent basis last year, would you recognize him as one of the guys who developed the most, or one of the guys who, you know, develop more than the rest?
Out of the seven guys that played, he has developed the most in his career there. I did not love his high school video. He was very raw. You could see some ability there. He had good movement skills, but was very raw, was not recruited that heavily, really. Right. If I remember, was almost a late take. Played at a Philly Catholic school or public school that wasn't very good.
O'Hara? Was it Cardinal O'Hara?
Yeah, and it's like that's not where you go if you're a stud football player. It's just not. There's other places that you go. You go to Wood or St. Joe's Prep or whatever. He is a textbook example of what you want to do with your program in terms of development. It took him till his third year, Bob, to your point, but he played very well last year.
He did.
I didn't notice any drop-off at either tackle spot when he was out there. I think the entire coaching staff, including Lime Grover, deserves credit for putting him out there. They didn't need to do that. They had Rasheed Walker and Will Fries, but they thought, you know what? He's good enough. Let's take some reps off these guys. Let's build some depth. I'm not convinced he's not better than Will Fries. Troutwine, as a new O-line coach, will come in and probably give him every opportunity to earn that spot. But at a minimum, they have tremendous depth. And he's a guy that – this is how college football used to be, that offensive linemen contribute your third year, start your last 2 years, start your fourth and fifth year when you're a grown man, when you're 21, 22, 23 years old. And if Will Fries had turned pro, which – would not have been a wise choice. But if he had, Dez Holmes would be ready to start at right tackle and be fine. He is going to be a good player for this team this year.
Think of the tackle position 1 year ago. You had Will Fries. You knew about Rashid, but he was a redshirt freshman. You didn't know anything. Now you look at it 1 year later, they essentially have three starters.
And Caden Wallace.
And Caden Wallace still.
Is another one that could gain ground in a hurry.
All right, number 20 on your list, Bob, is cornerback, switching over to defense, Marquise Wilson.
Yeah, I like
flashed.
Him. I like him a lot. True freshman. I just remember late in the year when Terry Smith and Brent Pry started playing him more. It kind of caught me a little by surprise, but one, I think it was a Tuesday news conference, James Franklin said, trust me, there might not be any more confident person on the team than Marquise Wilson. And that's what you want to hear, especially if you're going to play corner, because you're going to, you could be one of the best corners in the country. There's going to be some plays where you get burned, but it seemed like he never got discouraged. He had a nice interception in the Cotton Bowl when they played a lot of young corners. I like him a lot. I would actually have him maybe ranked a little bit higher because I think he has a good chance to start. But they also have Trent Corden, they have Keaton Ellis, and they have Joey Porter, who is not on this list. So I think there's a little bit of uncertainty maybe who the other corner is to start the season other than Tariq Castro-Fields. But I would also say you're going to see a lot of situations where they play three corners. So just like Keaton Ellis, I think this guy's going to be on the field a lot. He's not particularly big, but I did think he made some nice plays on the ball, especially in the final four or five games of the season. I think the coaching staff's very high on him.
I actually thought he looked really small out there. I don't know what his size is, but
he does look small.
In the Cotton Bowl, I was like, who's little number eight?
Yes.
When he got that pick. By the way, he should be confident. If you remember, Marquise played in Johnny Hedge Fund League in high school. So if you are an athletic starting cornerback in the Big Ten and you play in the Johnny Hedge Fund League, you should be confident. There's no question. Everything you said, though, Bob, it's just highly encouraging that they felt good enough about him to have him in against Memphis late in the game in the Cotton Bowl. That means they feel pretty good about him. I am very excited to see the leap that Porter, Wilson, and Ellis all make from year one to year two. That should be a big leap.
Keystone Kickoff Show is brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. We're your source for Penn State football news and analysis 52 weeks a year. We never stop talking Penn State football. Quarter number four, Bob Flounders, Ross Tucker, Andy Shea. We are counting down Bob Flounders' 25 most important players of 2020 in descending order. We are up to or down to?
Whatever you prefer.
We are down to number 19. It is linebacker Ellis Brooks.
Yeah, we talked about, Ross just talked about a guy, Des Holmes, waiting his turn. I think Ellis Brooks has waited his turn as well. I think he was a more talented player, though, that Penn State recruited out of Virginia. I believe he was a late add to the class,
four-star,
because I think there was a kid that...
Dylan Rivers.
The kid went to West Virginia.
And Virginia Tech.
Was it Virginia Tech?
Yeah, his girlfriend went there.
And Ellis Brooks, I just think that the more that we see of him... We don't always get to see a lot of him, but he's a guy that shows up with impact plays, tackles for loss. I think as we talk about it right now, if I had to put money on the starting middle linebacker for Penn State, even though they have some great talent, it's probably him. Having said all that, Penn State has the talent to play at linebacker a lot of guys, but Ellis has been in the system, has backed up Jan Johnson. I thought he did a nice job backing up Jan Johnson for the last couple of years. I'm sure he's hungry and ready to start after waiting his turn. He's a guy that I think is a real sleeper on this team in terms of, you know, we talk about the young linebackers, Lance Dixon and another guy we're going to talk about. We talk about all these young guys that are ready to make an impact. I think a guy that gets lost in the shuffle is a guy like Ellis Brooks, because I think he can play for Penn State in the middle, and I think he can be disruptive in the middle. And I'll be really interested to see this competition play out in spring, August, and early in the fall.
I really like him. He's really physical. He's a good blitzer. I don't think he provides really any value in obvious passing downs or in coverage. That's not his game. He's an old school hammerhead. He is, to me, going to replace Jan Johnson. He's been groomed for it. He's ready. very similar to what we just said, Bob, and you just mentioned about Dez Holmes. Contributor in his third year. I think he has a great chance to start the next 2 years, but he will be a situational player early down in distance, short yardage, goal line, which is great. They'll have a package for him. They'll have a role for him. I will just point out this. We talk all the time about recruiting, and these guys spend multiple years talking to these kids every week. And legitimately, I think Dylan Rivers at the end, Dylan Rivers was the first commit in that class.
Right.
The first commit, like right about now, his junior year of high school, maybe even earlier. I think it was during the season, his junior year of high school. And then the last week, I think his girlfriend legitimately went to Virginia Tech or told him she wanted him to go to, and that's where he went. So I just point that out because, like, imagine putting in hours and hours of your life like these coaches do. And then let me just tell you, girlfriends are like undefeated,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
It's true. I mean, it's true. It really is. Like, it's unbelievable. So when people are like, yeah. How could he pick there? How could he go there? Like, there's a lot of reasons. And sometimes it's just the girlfriend. Let's get to one more.
Well, I would say, Andy, the next player is really special. Unless let's wait. I want to follow up with the middle linebacker position.
Sure.
If you just look at some of the middle linebackers that have played at Penn State, they've been good players. They haven't necessarily been star recruits. Mike Hall, remember his 2014 year. Brandon Smith, another walk-on who played a lot of football inside for Penn State. Jan Johnson, two really solid years.
Jason,
a lot of people, thought he should have went, got a combine invite, but that's another story. And Ellis Brooks, who might of the group that we're talking about athletically, even though he might not be great against the pass, he might be the best athlete of that group. And I know Mike Hull was a problem for, I think he had 140 tackles for Penn State.
Awesome football
in 2014.
Player.
But just why do you think maybe that is the way that it's played out? Is it just one of those positions that where there's more to it than athleticism, or what is it, Russ?
Bob, it's a great question. And the answer is 1,000%. That position is so much about preparation and understanding and seeing things faster than everybody else. You look at Brandon Smith's instincts, Hull could really run, but Brandon Smith's instincts, Jan Johnson, they're so smart that they're able to identify what's coming and attack it. It's one of the reasons why Ray Lewis is the best player I ever played against. People don't even realize how smart he was.
All right, that'll do it for the Keystone Kickoff Show this week from the Labatt Studio. For all of us at the Keystone Sports Network, thanks for joining us and have a good weekend.
Looking for a great gift for the blue and white fan in your life? Check out 409tailgateclub.com for some great ideas. You can get the tailgate box that includes all their rubs and sauces. Then there's the Bloody Mary gift box, complete with mix, bacon salt, and even pepperoni straws. Go to 409tailgateclub.com and check out their online store. Don't forget to use code KSN on checkout for a discount. That's 409tailgateclub.com and use code KSN.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.